If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. My name is Bob, and this is podcast number 128. It's April 17, 2015. Today, a new study. We're going to refer much to the Bible in this study, but you know, we're always referring to the Bible, and that's what this study is about, a series of studies to bolster our faith in the book. The book itself will help us, and we'll use other things as we go along to show you that the book that you have held in your hand and read all of these years is truly, truly God's Word, the very Word of God. I want to start us out with Psalm 11, 1 to 3. In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, that passage was written by David. David is reacting in that passage to the fact that in his Israel, everything's upside down. Things just weren't as they should have been. The king that should be for God's people, Saul, is threatening David with death. He's hiding his parents in Moab, in a foreign country, a pagan country, from Israel, which is supposed to be God's country. He hides himself among the Philistines, another pagan group. Moab and the Philistines, two of Israel's fiercest enemies, but he's feeling at home with them. He has to, and there's no place else to go. The foundations of his society are being destroyed before his eyes. The reason? The word of God to Saul was being ignored. And Saul was sinking into greater and greater rebellion. God had told his people, you know, you don't even need a king. Just let me lead you. I'll speak to the prophets. The prophets will speak to you. But they didn't want that. They wanted a king, and this is the king they got. So when you defy the will of God, the word of God, this is what you get. Today, the foundation of the church continues to be assaulted by disobedient men. This study is meant to reaffirm the ancient truth that every word of God is pure. Proverbs 30:5. If the word of God is pure, then men must obey it. The foundation of the church has not changed. Jesus and his word, that's what holds us up. So we want to hold on to Jesus and his word as he's holding us through it. It's the Holy Spirit who brings the word of salvation to our hearts. It's testifying of personally speaking that word to you. And you'll hear it. It's the living word of God that the Spirit will bring to you. That's what does the work. It's the word that's empowered by the Spirit. These two entities cannot be separated, though men try to do it. As a baby in Jesus, you're spoon-fed more of the word, and it feels good to you. You like it. You believe it. You want more. But there comes a time in our natural life, doesn't there, when a child or a teenager starts examining his food. He wants to know why he's got to eat this and not that, and more of this but not more of that. And if he's wise, he wants to know more about this food he's constantly eating. Eventually, he'll be buying the food himself, and he'll be taught wise choices. He'll even find that there are certain things he can put into his mouth that are not food at all, and that can actually harm him. And so it is in our walk with the Lord. And there comes a time when we all need to start examining what we've been eating and decide whether we're going to eat this food that we've been told is so good for us. We'll see which foods are the best for our growth. And even find that there are foods out there in the so-called Christian kitchen that are not food at all. They're hurting us. They're poisoning us. 1 Peter 2, verses 2 and 3 says, "As newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you've tasted that the Lord is gracious." That verse is the mom saying to the baby, here's your bottle, drink it up. And we take the bottle because we've tasted that bottle before. We like it. So why not? And we just drink happily. These are newborn Christians. They've had an experience with God. They're so delighted. And so when someone puts a bottle in front of them and says, here's more of that same stuff that you got when you were saved, we go for that, right? Paul has a little stronger word about this in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 3. Paul visited the Corinthians and had to feed them milk. Trouble is, they were past the age, way past the age of being weaned away from liquids. They should have been grown by now, but they were still babies. He says, "I, brothers, I could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal people, as to babies in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. Even now, you're not able. You're still carnal. Where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, you're behaving like natural men, carnal men." This passage tells us several things. As with Peter, Paul agrees that we start out with simple food as a newborn. The basics. Did you know those basics are outlined in Hebrews 6, verses 1 and 2? Let me read that. "Let's go on into perfection." Now, that's the same idea of progress here. You know, from milk to solid food. Let's go on into perfection. "Not laying again the foundation." Now, that's what I'm calling the basics here. The foundation. And he lists the items that are in that foundation, the basics of the faith. Number one, repentance from dead works. That's the first message you should have received on your way to salvation. A calling to repentance and a spirit of repentance that just came over you. That's from the Holy Ghost, making you really sorry for all the things you've ever done against God. Secondly, faith toward God. That comes after repentance. You realize how awful your sin is, and you tell him you're sorry, and then God gives you grace to believe him for the antidote, for the correction to that problem, which is faith in God. And then thirdly, the doctrine of baptisms. And notice it is plural. There's a baptism in water that God will lead you to as a sign to everybody around you. Look, I was alive, I became dead, I'm being buried, and now I'm going to live again. That's what water baptism pictures. But there's also that overcoming and overpowering by the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know what all that means for you. You're going to have to go for yourself and find out what the Spirit wants to do in your life. But the Holy Spirit, he's been doing all this stuff. He's led you to repentance. He's led you to faith, led you to the water. Do you think he's just going to let you go then? I believe he wants to overpower you then. That is to baptize you. For by one Spirit, it says in 1 Corinthians 10, we were all baptized into the one Spirit. body. So it's not just for certain people in certain denominations. Everybody that's in the body of Christ was truly baptized by the Spirit. That's something that only God can do. No man can do it. You can't fake it or try to make it happen. Just go to God and tell Him you're interested in more of Him if He hasn't given it to you. And then the laying on of hands. Where did that doctrine go? We lay on hands when people are sick, don't we? When people are being called into the ministry, some for receiving the Holy Spirit. But the laying on of hands is a doctrine that is supposed to be in the basics. 5, the resurrection of the dead. What? Yeah, when you die, you're not going to stay in that grave. We don't talk much about it, but it's true. We need to talk it up. We're going to be resurrected. That should have been in your 101 course when you first came to Jesus. And 6, eternal judgment. You should know exactly what God intends to do in those last days when He sees you and sees all the rest of us as we rise from the dead. Eternal judgment. Those are the basics. That's the milk of the Word. Where are you? Have you gone that far yet? Have you received even that much? Secondly, we learn from Paul that solid food is what negates carnality. When you take in the real solid food, then you're not going to be carnal anymore. It's possible to go through some of these other things here, to believe in all these things and have different things happen to you and have understandings about certain things and still not be a Spirit-filled, not a mature Christian. When I talk about Spirit-filled, I'm talking about a person who's living holy for God, whose life just exudes the Spirit of God. He had to feed them with milk, the basics, because their carnality, their fleshly ways, would not allow the meat to be digested. The meat, then, must have something to do with other words from God about bearing fruit. It's in that same Bible, but it's, again, often ignored. How often do you hear a sermon on 1 Corinthians 13, on love, the love chapter? None of the basics talk about character. All those things that I listed first from Hebrews, none of that's about character. As I said, you can go through most of that and still not have your character formed in Christ's image yet. Those are the real things that God wants to do in the human life. He wants to build you into a holy son or daughter, perfect in every way. That's what He said. You can call it a command or a promise, but He did say, you will be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. You're going to be. You say, well, on that day, I think He's maturing us now, doesn't that makes sense to you? Well, that's what the food is for. It's God's diet for you. Your very lifeline to eternity. No word means no growth. You'll stay a baby all your life if you're not able to take into your system the words from heaven that came through the apostles. Those words. And so we examine this word. We're examining our food. The word's been speaking to us. Now we're going to respond. We look closely at these meals that have been going into our system. Where did these words come from? If they're merely wise words from wise men, well, there's other wise men who have written wise books in the world. Supposedly it's the worldly wisdom. If they are from an enemy, those words, we put them down. We run from them. Hey, we'd rather starve than take that poison into our souls again. Now, we believe they are from God. Now, let's look closely at why we believe that. Can we build our lives on these words? Are they enough? Are they the original words that God spoke? Do we need supplements? To use the food analogy again. Do we need a Book of Mormon? Do we need a Jehovah's Witness New World Translation of the Bible? Do we need that? Do we need an update and a revision of the revelation as in the Quran? Do we need commentaries written by men who disagree among themselves? Do we need it? I mean, need it for our ultimate growth in Christ? Do we need traditions invented by Rome and passed on down next to the Bible? Do we need it? How did they ever figure out, by the way, which books are the Bible and which are not? They, meaning the church of all ages. Other holy books and letters were written throughout Jewish and Christian history. How do we know that the text wasn't somehow corrupted, like the Muslims are telling us? Well, the quick but very true and very real answer to all of this is the Holy Spirit. That's how we know. We walk with Him, and every word of Scripture will be revealed to you in its time. You'll understand, but eventually, I believe the Holy Spirit will also lead you to do what we're going to do right now, and that is examine carefully each of these questions I just asked. We might have a good answer to give to those who question us. We're not afraid to ask questions when they're motivated by faith and not by fear and doubt. We know God has come into our lives. Now, Lord, teach us more about what has happened and how you did it and how wonderful is that word that you sent us. Amen. We'll let that serve today as our introduction to the course about the Bible foundations. Tomorrow we'll start talking about the revelation itself. God has revealed himself. He has. Okay, that's tomorrow. God bless you for tuning in today. I pray that you will continue to do that. Don't forget what we started with. Psalm 11:3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?